May we turn our Bibles, please, to Philippians, the fourth chapter. And in our exposition of this epistle, we have come down to the eighth verse. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. We have already considered true. We spent a message on honesty. The last time I spoke, we dealt with the things which are just, and today it is in order that we speak on the things which are pure. Whatsoever things are pure. If there be any virtue, if there be any praise, let your mind be occupied with these things. Our Savior said, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. And if your thoughts are corruption and you run to the base things of life, you're that kind of a man. But if your thoughts are of the things of God and you're seeking to direct your life according to his will, you are a man of ideals, you're a man of righteousness, you're a man who's good, a good man. Now, as I've outlined and expounded this epistle to you, we've seen the progression, we've seen the growth as the epistle has unfolded. And now the apostle says, finally, this is the last thing I want to say to you. And if you're going to be the kind of a character that will serve the Lord, these are the things that you must heed. If you are going to be a believer growing in the things of God, or growing in grace, if that's the kind of a person you're going to be, you must heed these instructions. Now, the Christian life begins when you're born again. When we're saved and we come into the knowledge of Christ, that's where we begin. But, oh, beloved, the Christian life continues day by day and month by month, and we're to grow in grace, and every day with Jesus ought to be sweeter than the day we had before. And you, as a believer in the Son of God, should be putting on Christ. You should put off this old man with his deeds, and you should put him under your feet, and you should be renewed after the image of him that has recreated you. We must put on the likeness of the Son of God, and the Christian life ought not to be stagnant. We should grow, we should increase, and we should know the Lord better today than we knew him on our last birthday. We should know the Lord every day. We should move on with the testimony of God. And so a Christian church isn't static. The members of a Christian church just don't stay in one position. We move, and we are to move on with the Lord. And all the means of grace which God has given to us by his word are ordained in order that you may grow and in the likeness of the Son of God give glory to the Son of God. That's why you need the scriptures. That's why you need to come to the house of God. That's why you need prayer. That's why you need to grow in prayer and in the use of the means which God has given to us. Now, this passage says if there's going to be virtue in your midst, and we want virtue, if they're going to be the things for which we can praise God and bless one another, we must occupy our minds with these things. Now, I pointed out to you when I first started this sequence, and I intend to preach on each one of these phrases. Next Lord's Day, we're going to preach on whatsoever things are lovely. And it ought to be a beautiful sermon together, the things which are lovely. These are the things we're to think about. But I pointed out when I first started this sequence that these admonitions were related to the law of God. Whatsoever things are true, God is true. And I developed the whole concept of truth. And that brings us to the first commandment. Then we dealt with the command, whatsoever things are honest. And you can't discuss honesty without dealing with the command, thou shalt not bear false witness. And I have tried to point out to you that the law of God, which is holy, the law of God, which is clean, the law of God, which is pure, God has that law as the standard of our Christian conduct. And we speak of following Jesus. We don't speak of following him in the sense that he's just a crusader or he's a revolutionist, or that he's some kind of a leader for a political cause. No, beloved, we do not speak of that in any shape, way, or form. But we mean that the Lord Jesus Christ was the embodiment of the law and of righteousness. He's the living example of one who kept the law of God. And when you and I follow Jesus, we're following him. He's redeemed us. He's raised us from the dead. We have our hope in him. But there he is, and we want to be like him. We want to have a holy life, a clean life, a pure life. And that brings us right back to the commandments of our God. And that's why the psalmist said, oh, how love I thy law. It is my meditation all the day long. And beloved, we have these ideals and these standards, and by the grace of God, we ask God to enable us to follow and to walk in this path. Now, whatsoever things are pure, you think on these things. And it's in this area that we run into the lusts that abound. The lust that abound. And in contrast to the things which are impure and unclean, we are to think of the things that are pure and are clean. And our minds are to be filled with this area and not with the dirt and with the street and with the filth and with the gutter as the world's mind is filled. Whatsoever things are pure. Now it's interesting to turn to the scripture and find, of course, these various references. There are a great many of them. But I'd like to turn with you to just several of them briefly. But turn, please, to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy. In your Bibles, and you'll find several references here as the Apostle speaks of these matters. But in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 22, flee also youthful lust. Follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace, with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. But foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strife. You flee the youthful lust. Then turn over to the second chapter, or rather 2 Timothy, the third chapter. And we come on down to a description here of the conditions of the latter day. He says this, know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. And then we move on down to verse 6, and he says, for of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women. Silly women, laden with sins, led away by divers lusts. You know, I think the best book in the world you can give a young man to read when it comes to these matters of youthful lust. You know the book I'd like to recommend to the young men to read? The best book I could possibly recommend, young man, is for you to read the book of Proverbs. It has section after section in there that warns a young man in this field of youthful lust. And if we could get our young people to read the Proverbs and to read some of the other sections of the Bible that deal with these youthful lusts, instead of running after some of the literature that we find today on our newsstands, we'd have a different problem to face. All through the Bible, you find this emphasis upon the lust of the flesh and the pride of life, but particularly the lust of the flesh. Now, it's very interesting, especially in view of the fact that we're having so many problems in this particular area with our youth and with ourselves. It's very interesting to go back to our own confession of faith and the larger catechisms and the questions that deal with this matter of the seventh commandment. And when you read the things which are forbidden in this commandment, you come up with the conclusion that the people of the day in which this was written had the same temptations and the same problems that we face today. Because the heart of man remains the same, and the lust in the heart of man continues to be the same from generation to generation, because it is of the fruit of Adam and his transgression. But may I read you this? What are the sins forbidden in the seventh commandment? What are the sins forbidden? The sins forbidden in the seventh commandment, besides the neglect of the duties thereof, are adultery, fornication, rape, incest, sodomy, and all unnatural lust. Covers an awful lot of territory, beloved. All unclean imaginations, thoughts, purposes, and affections. All corrupt or filthy communications, listening thereunto. They must have had people in those days that told dirty jokes and filthy stories and suggestive jibes. You're not to tell them, you're not to listen to them. Wanton looks. The wanton glance, the wanton look. Imprudent or light behavior. Immodest apparel. Immodest apparel. You women need to think of these things. Prohibiting of lawful and dispensing with unlawful marriages, allowing, tolerating, keeping of stews and resorting to them, entangling vows of single life, undue delay of marriage, having more wives or husbands than one at the same time, unjust divorce or desertion, idleness, gluttony, drunkenness, unchaste company, unchaste company. Oh, you young girls, when your mother and father say you don't keep company with that other girl, you listen to what they're saying. Unchaste company, lascivious songs, some of these very lewd songs that stimulate emotions and the baser nature of man, books, pictures, dancing, stage plays, and all other provocations to or acts of uncleanness, either in ourselves or others. Now that's in the confession of faith of your church. That's in the larger catechism that these elders and deacons stood here a few moments ago and said they subscribe to. And those are the things that I subscribed to when I took the vows of a minister to preach the gospel. But our founding fathers, when they summarized the teachings of the scripture in this area of purity and chastity, in this area of our hearts and our lusts, they wrote these things down point by point, and they're there in order that you and I might be protected from this realm. And the reason they're there is in order that we might know that they lead to sin and to aggravations, and that if we're going to delight ourselves in the Lord, we must listen to the exhortation. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are pure. Do you know this is the reason that Christian people have been opposed to bringing certain magazines into their home and letting them lay around the table so that the boy or the girl can pick it up and begin to look into some of these things? This is the reason some of us recoil at some of the shows that are put on the television today. And there's some fundamental preachers around the country are telling their people to throw your television sets out of your house. You're doing you more harm than good. That type of thing. We have to be concerned about that which comes in and occupies the mind, and it's the business of the parent and of the mother in the home to deal with these things in relationship to your children. Whatsoever things are pure. Oh, beloved, we all have our experiences in life, but you look back over them after the years have passed and you appreciate them. I think you parents ought to be concerned about the pictures you hang in the walls of your children's rooms. I think we ought to be concerned about the pictures that we have around us in our homes and the things that are about. Next week I'm going to talk about the things that are lovely. But today we're speaking about the things that are pure. And there's one little picture, I can see it today. I'll never forget it as long as I live. It was always there. I saw it as a son. My mother, some reason or other, she had a long, slim picture here of Sir Galahad. Did you ever see that picture of Galahad? It was hanging there. We used to always see it. It was in the house. I can see it now. And I remember the first time I ever asked my mother about it. I says, "Mother, who's that?" And she says, "Well, son, that's Sir Galahad." And she said, "You know, his strength was of the strength of 10 because his heart was pure." She only had to say it once. I never forgot it. A picture. And a quotation that she'd learned somewhere. And she said, "Son, his strength was of the strength of 10 because his heart was pure." And oh, give us young men who recoil at dirty jokes. Give us young men who are offended when someone passes a slighting remark toward a young girl. Give us young men who are committed to purity and who believe that the whole of our structure of society must be built upon womanhood, where there's purity and integrity and the preparation for marriage and a home and children and love and delight. That's what we need. But what's the order of the day? Well, you know, they tell you that they don't put out a single issue of Life magazine anymore without some section in it that has the appeal to the baser nature. And so there are those who pick up Life and turn through it hastily to find that section of it, to see what it is.
our newsstands, our newspapers. All of this sort of thing is down, down, down. And it's there because it is appealing to the lusts of the flesh, which is in man. And now we have the breaking down and the breaking down of our standards of morality, and we see it on every hand, and what a tragedy and what a disaster it is today. Of course, you know your pastor. I read you these things. I speak from these things as I do. But I do not believe that the intimate facts of life, as they're called, are appropriate matters for discussion between the sex in a sermon or in a youth meeting. These are the facts of life that need to be brought to the children by their parents and by their family, and they shouldn't be paraded or discussed in mixed classes in public school rooms, as is the movement and as is the tendency today. Because the discussion of these problems and the analysis of the questions that are involved in them, inevitably, and you can't stop it, they touch the heart with its flesh, and it's there. And that's why the apostle is saying, whatsoever things are pure, you think on these things. You guard, you watch, you protect. In this particular area, you think. We learn to hate a lie. We must learn to hate the lust of the flesh. And as you grow in grace, you rise above these things and you become conquerors in this area of your life and of your own corrupt nature. I brought along the pulpit this morning this. I've had it some time. But to me, it's one of the most terrible things that's happened. See this little magazine, this little folder. Got some trees and a black background, and here's a heart, and here's a young fellow leading a girl off into the woods. You see it. You know what the title of that is? Call to Responsible Freedom. Meaning of sex in the Christian life. Do you know what this document says? It says that our young people should not be restrained by the legalism of their fathers. And it is perfectly all right in responsible freedom to engage intimately before marriage, provided you are sure you're in love. Do you know who's putting this out? Do you know who's circulating this? Well, it has the imprint here, copyrighted, 1961 by the National Council of Churches, published for the United Christian Youth Movement. And so this is copyrighted. They can have it. This is copyrighted, but it's for the United Christian Youth Movement. Responsible freedom, young people. You're free to transgress the laws. You're free to turn aside from what God has said. And the law of God is plain. The law of God is clear. These intimate relations of life are reserved for the marriage bond. And even if you violate them in the marriage bond, you're guilty of adultery. It is the law. It is the standard. It is the will of God that our society be ordered in this way. And it's the business of Christians to have clean lives and pure marriages. And that's what God's calling us to. But this is the breakdown in the church. Do you know an area in which the communists are working on our nation right now? Maybe you don't appreciate this, but I see it, and material of this sort comes to me. But do you know the communists in this country and some of the front organizations, I can give you the names of them, but I'm not going to do that, are actually carrying on a campaign to tear down the morals of the young people of this country. And furthermore, they're even publishing, I won't give you the name of the magazine, But they're even publishing a magazine which you can get your hands on if you want to. There are ways in which it's being circulated all around the country, and it has the most disgraceful pictures in it that any man or woman could ever look at. The communists are doing it because they know that if they can appeal to the basic lust that's in man and break down the morals and break down the purity of life in a young girl or a young man, and let them go through life with things of this kind hanging over their consciences, they know they'll break something of their character and their strength, and we'll pull this nation down. But of course, when anybody begins to talk like this, they say, well, he's a prude, and he's an old fogey, and don't listen to this sort of thing. Young people, you better listen to God Almighty. You cannot transgress his laws with impunity. It's impossible. And let's face up to the fact that sin is the transgressing of the law, and it's in this area that the heart of man is corrupt and deceitful, and it's in this area that you need to ask God Almighty to forgive you and give you grace to live a clean, pure life. Whatsoever things are pure. Oh, he says, if there be any virtue, you think on these things. Some of you young people that have got little books hidden away somewhere, throw them away. Have no business with them. Get them out of your mind. Get them out of your sight. If you're bothered about reading something, if you want to read about these problems, if you really want to read about them, I recommend you read the book of Proverbs. Young ladies, if you want to learn about these things, you just read the book of Proverbs. You've got all you need to know right there. It was put there by the law of God as the prophet spoke and as Solomon gave it to us, that it might be a blessing to God's people all through these years. Whatsoever things are pure, think on these things. You know, you even hesitate to speak like I'm speaking today. I'm trying to handle the subject, as you can see. But it's a very difficult thing to speak on. And it's something that parents particularly have the major responsibility in the training, the teaching, the exhortation of our youth. I received this some months back, and I started to give it away on the broadcast. I talked about it for 2 days and got so sick I quit. I really did. I usually give something away on a broadcast for a week, and I got so sick of the thing I quit. But even then, the request for it came in by the hundreds, and we had to go ahead and produce it. But you don't even like to show anybody this thing. You don't even like to let anybody read this thing. Because it inevitably, you can't, beloved, deal with these questions without the reality of the heart of man being wicked. And those who want to destroy us know that is true. And so Paul said, finally, brethren, you think upon the things which are pure. Well, now let's advance another step in our thinking on this so far as the Word of God is concerned. You know, you look through the New Testament, and the word pure not only applies to the area which I've just been discussing, but the word pure refers to other areas. We speak about having a pure and undefiled conduct, not in relationship to the areas that I've been speaking. We speak about a pure faith. And what the word means in that is that your faith in Christ is not to be corrupted, but is to be sincere and clean and earnest before God. Your relationship to Him is a pure, unsullied, unspoiled, unspotted relationship. And that's what Jude said when he said, that we hated even the garment that was unspotted by, that was spotted by the flesh. And we reach the place where even the garment that we have, we want it to be clean when we come to God. And isn't it beautiful that we've told that cleanliness is next to godliness? And when you become a child of God, you clean your life up, you clean your home up, you clean your church up. You just want to clean everything up because you've come close to God. And then when you turn over into the book of Revelation and you see some of these great heavenly scenes with the hosts of heaven, and when the angels appear and the redeemed come marching out of heaven, we're told that they're robed in pure white. Pure is there again. And then when we come to the city, that holy city, the New Jerusalem, in all of its grandeur and glory, with its colors and its stones and all the rainbow about it, what are we told? Its streets were of pure gold. This purity concept, this concept in which we are opposed to the pollution or the corruption or the mingling, that type of thing, it's something that we as a people cannot go along with. This brings us right straight to the fact that there's the pure gospel. The corrupt gospel won't save anybody. A diluted gospel won't bring anybody home to Christ. It is the pure message of redemption that we preach. And because it is pure, because we protect it, because we guard it, because we're concerned about it, that's why we preach the pure gospel. And beloved, when you get into this realm of purity and cleanliness, you have to put up your guards. You have to put up your protection. Did you ever have anybody say this is a pure glass of milk? Well, of course, I wouldn't drink any other. It's a pure glass of water. But why is it pure? And why was it kept that way? Because it was guarded. It was protected. It was looked after. And purity is something that you lose quickly and easily. And we're undergirding here the great and glorious testimony of the Scripture that God wants a witness in His behalf, which is pure. We believe in the purity of the church. Did you hear me ask one of these deacons a few moments ago, would he study the purity? And that came first, and then the peace, and then the unity of the church. Oh, beloved, that's what we're all involved about right now. Our whole problem in the Christian world is that we want to corrupt the gospel, corrupt the church, and bring men into the fellowship of the church that don't belong there. And then they accuse you of being, well, you're holier than thou, are you? You think you're rather self-righteous, do you? That's the accusation that's used to lead you to abandon your commitment to that which is pure and true and clean in the testimony of Jesus Christ. Is it any wonder when you come over to a study of Israel in the Old Testament, and every time Israel turned away from God, God accused her of harlotry and whoredoms? Just as soon as Israel turned aside to Ashtaroth or Gad or any of the other gods of the Philistines, immediately she was being accused of dividing her affection and turning away from Jehovah. And so you have the prophecies of Hosea that denounce Israel for her harlotry, impurity. Isn't it interesting that when you get to the last chapters of the book of Revelation and you come to the picture of the Babylon the Great, and you see her riding upon the back of the beast, and you see the great world powers, and you see the gathering of this great ecclesiastical power, and God says, come out of her, my people. But what is she called?
What is she called? Babylon the Great, the mother of, what's the word? Harlots. Impurity, impurity, impurity. God wants a pure Christian. He wants a pure witness. He wants a pure church. And it's our task and our responsibility in our ministry and loyalty to Him to work diligently and faithfully to maintain just this. And all you parents, you families that have your little children, teach them these things from the very beginning.
By the way, I had an interesting experience with one of these congressmen this week. This congressman from Arizona, Mr. Censor is his name, made it very difficult for these young men of ICY. And he was trying to prove in the questions he asked them that they were a front for some other organization. And he indicated to Carl Thomas that when his father came down, he'd confront him with some of these questions. So I was prepared for him, waiting for him. But he asked me one question, but he didn't ask me the ones I expected. When we were talking about prayer, he said, "Now, Dr. Mangetide," he said, "suppose in Arizona that you have the second grade class, how would they conduct these prayers in the second grade?" And I'd outlined how these things would be developed. And I said to him, I said, "Sir," I said, "children in the second grade are old enough to pray." I says, "You know how to pray." I says, "People can pray in Arizona." I says, "I know how to pray." I says, "You won't have any trouble." And that stopped him. He didn't ask me another question. But it's down where the children are, beloved, right in these early years, these younger grades. That's when you must teach to them these ideals of purity. Right in these areas, they must be instructed. And then as they understand what's about us and they understand what Christ asks of us, they will have the standards, and by God's grace, they can be given the restraints. And when I hear some of the stories that I do once in a while of some of the things that are happening even among our own young people in this particular area, you find it all over the country now and in the schools. It is a sad and tragic thing. But, beloved, these young people must be brought face to face with the fact that it's sin. They're ruining their lives. They're hurting their testimony. And Jesus Christ says that blessed are the pure in heart. Blessed are the pure in heart. Oh, but you say, "Dr. McIntyre, you denounce these things and you talk about these. Where can we learn the things of purity? Where can we see them?" In the Word of God. And in the lives and examples of some of the saints that God's raised up today. That's where you can see them. And oh, that many of you girls can see them in your mother. That many of your boys can see them in your father. And that many of the people of the church can see them in your pastors. We can see them in the leaders that God has called to set the example before us. Whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report. Oh, I want you to hear that one. Don't miss that, sir. Whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Now, some of you go home and clean out your houses, will you please? Let's let a message like this come home to where it'll have some effect. Let us pray. Oh God, our Father, we thank Thee for the message.
Oh, how we thank thee that when we see the communists attacking in this area, and we see even the churches breaking down these standards, oh God, we ask that our people shall gather closely about the Word and about the Son of God. And may He give us the grace that we need to say no and to walk in the paths of purity and righteousness. We thank Thee that Jesus Christ is sufficient to these things. For Christ's sake, amen.